Oh, do you make fun of your wife a lot? I know, it's funny as hell, isn't it? You know, your wife is supposed to be your soulmate. You want to be the pot or the kettle? You know, I saw an old photo of you and your wife. Your wife's quite beautiful.
He saw an old photo. Yeah, I'm kidding. I know. I married a petite, young, beautiful thing. Yeah, she's eventually eaten by the woman I live with now.
You're just flat out saying your wife's overweight.
Oh, no. She's under tall.
Have you ever had a weight problem?
Only when she sat on me.
Will you?
Get off of me! Actually, it's more like this. Hello? Hello?
It's dark in here. I found your keys.
I am not kidding. Then she farted and unlocked the car doors.
What does your wife think when you do things like this? I don't care. Well, I know you care enough about your wife to take her on some of these trips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she loves going on these trips. I know she loves window shopping.
Not in Amsterdam, she didn't. Because in Amsterdam, there's hookers in the windows. I love that city. Did you know that in Amsterdam, you can legally purchase marijuana?
I did know that.
Do you know where?
Coffee houses.
Coffee houses. It's my favorite coffee place ever. I'd like a latte and a doobie. And 19 dozen donuts. Thank you.
I know you liked Australia.
Oh, I learned a new word in Australia.
Cranky!
It means, oh shit!
You know, Walter, I happen to know the word cranky is actually derived from the word Christ.
Oh. So it means holy shit. Am I going to hell?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow we are driving through West Virginia, so what the hell?
Why did you do that?
I don't care. I'm going home in a suitcase.
How the Lord can create life. I mean, it's unbelievable. You just see that little baby's head pop out. Your whole life is transformed and changed, and you just love it so much, and you cry, you know? And then 10 years later, that same thing, you want to slap the living out of it. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable, the whole different... I remember when my little boy was born, I was scared to hit a speed bump leaving the hospital for fear his head would go like that and crack open or something. Here I am 10 years later, driving down the interstate, trying to get the perfect whack on the middle of his freaking head. And my wife's like, be careful, you're gonna crash. I don't give a shit. I'll kill everybody in his car right now. All right? I could care less. I've had it with him right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah, the Pope came out and said married couples should have more kids. Well, that's easy for him to say. Daggone Pope ain't got no kids. How about I drop my kids off at the Vatican for a couple hours? How's that sound? Yeah, see if they can get grape jelly out of the Pope hat. All right? That's why I never understood kidnapping. Really? You want to put up with this bullshit? Are you kidding me? Holy, you kidnap my kids, they'd be back on the porch in 2 days with an apology note strapped to the side of them. Oh, but I love them. I don't care what age it is. You put up with it. I love them so much, I'll tell you. You know, I was going to homeschool my kids, and then my wife reminded me, we're idiots. Hey, I was homeschooled, and I loved it. I finished second in my class. It wasn't until 2 years ago my mom told me that she'd made the dog valedictorian. I worry about my kids, though. They're so sweet. My little girl's such a sweetie, and my little boy's got a kind heart, and I just worry about bullies and, ugh. You know, I was bullied by a fourth grader one time, and, oh, I hated every minute of it. So I went home and told my wife, she's got to go pick the kids up, because I can't handle it down there no more. Hey, you laugh. They some big fourth graders out there. I mean, this girl, she wasn't small. I'll guarantee you that much. Remembered Father's Day, my kids. By the way, Father's Day is the biggest piece of crap holiday they got out there. That's where your wife and kids take your money and buy you crap you didn't want to begin with. All right. But my kids, they're so sweet. They drew a picture of me and put "We Love You, Daddy" on it. And which is awesome. And I felt so bad because instead of me going, "Man, I love my kids, this is all," the only thing I could think when they give it to me was, "I'm not that fat, am I?" And it bugged me, and I told them, "Kids, I liked the picture, but I'm not that fat." And they're like, "Yeah, you are." I'm like, "No, I'm not." Yeah, so they took the picture and held it up to my cell phone, and it unlocked it. Took family vacation. Everybody wants to go canoeing, which I didn't want to do. Canoeing's an old Indian word that means blisters. Yeah, canoeing's a lot of fun when you're a fat guy. Yeah, that's a lot of fun right there. My little boy's in the front. I'm in the back, going down the river for 5 miles, popping a wheelie, going in circles. Got a catfish stuck to my nipple. I can't get it off of there. He's like, "Why do I gotta wear a life jacket?" Because if this thing tips over, it'll keep you alive long enough for me to save the Kentucky Fried Chicken over there, all right? You know what the difference between canoeing with your wife and canoeing with your little boy is? When you're done canoeing, your little boy is still talking to you.
And there's no alcohol in this country. That's number one reason I would be angry if I lived there. The more I was around these people in their homeland, the more I understood their anger and their willingness to blow themselves up. There's no alcohol at all. I mean, it's not like, ha ha, sneaky, sneaky. No, none. Then, when you go to bed in your bunk and for over loudspeakers, every 4 hours throughout the entire country, so there's no escaping it, you will hear this. And then it turns into Landslide. And the landslide brought. Okay, no, it doesn't, but it did in my head. I made it do that every night in my head. I've been freedom. First night, I didn't know what it was, and I jumped out of my bunk, and I had my glasses on, and Lou's still sound asleep, and wake up, and go, "What's happening? What is that man singing? Are we being attacked? I knew we should have left our helmets in the van. I didn't trust that man. I wanted my helmet." He goes, "Kathleen, you're crazy. It's just their call to prayer. Get back in your bunk and be quiet." I said, "Oh, sorry." I go back to my bunk, but I noticed all the Afghani soldiers did it. Boom! As soon as they heard that man, they got their prayer mats out, they jumped out, and they all got down and they faced left. It was, I don't know what direction. It was left to me. In my world, that's a hard left in my from my bunk, right? Uh-oh. I'd always do a left, because that's what I saw first. But I thought, you know, no wonder these people are angry. They have no alcohol, and they've never slept 8 hours in a row. I mean, are you kidding me? This goes on every 4 hours. But I couldn't believe their obedience. Think whatever you want to think about the religion. Look at their obedience. I am Catholic. That whole program would last 1 night. That would be it, 1 night. They would try it one leg. And then the excuses would start, and that would be my favorite part. Well, here's the thing. I had a mat, and I loaned it to my brother, Bob. And let me tell you what. That son of a bitch doesn't return a thing. I loaned him a lawnmower back in 1978, and I thought of it. Haven't got any overtime. I can't afford a new prayer mat. You can't, it's not right to do it without the mat, so I'm just going to sit this one out for a decade. Go, wow, this is the whole war. This is what we're doing. And we didn't even spend the money. Because they go, if you're going to take a shower here in the shower building, you might want to wear your tennis shoes and extra socks. Because if you'll notice, this is all Russian equipment. It's from the 70s. We didn't bring new stuff. The Russian stuff is still there. I'm like, did we learn nothing? Really? The Russians? The toughest people on earth. People who tricked Hitler into a snowstorm were freaked out by these people. These people in the middle of the night went, holy crap, they're crazy, and ran home like girls and left everything. They left tanks. They left barracks. They left apartments. They're like, here's the keys, man. You want to give it a whirl? Seriously, we are sneaking out at midnight. This is insane.
Everything about my wedding day was perfect, except for the fact that I got sick. I know. It was my own fault, too. Because what had happened was... I took too many supplements that day. And by supplements, I mean, I take this multi-pack vitamin. It's like 6 different vitamins. I was on antibiotics from the week before because I was fighting something. And then I got congested, so I took a decongestant pill. But then I got a headache, so I took like 3 Advil. And like, you can't put that much poison in your body and your body not try to get rid of it, right? But see, I wasn't thinking about that on my wedding day. I was just all excited. I started feeling a little sick, so I took the whole IL-3 at the pharmacy. And we decided to take pictures before the actual ceremony, so I'm there, like, posing for my pictures. And then all of a sudden, it just hit me, like... I think I have to use a restroom. No, wait a minute, never mind, false alarm. But you know how it comes and goes. Like, your body will give you that natural first warning. And it's up to you if you want to be obedient or not. Like, you're supposed to get the warning and be like, ooh, better start making my way over. Like, that's what it's for. But see, I tried to man up, right? I was like, no, I got this. Go, take the picture. Start posing for my picture again. And then I don't know if anybody here ever seen that movie Bridesmaids. You know that part where she go boo-boo in her dress? Well, I'm standing there posing for my picture, and all of a sudden it hit me again. I was like, ooh, that's not a warning. And I had to recollect all my track and field training. I had to run back to my hotel room. My photographer had to help me jump out of my dress real fast. Like, that's not in their job description. By the time I walked down the aisle, everybody just thought I was nervous because my face is pale. I'm walking down the aisle like this. Do you take this man to be your husband? Yes, I do. Do you, really? What? Yes, I do. He does. We all do. You don't need me for the rest of this, do you? I'll be in the back. All in all, it was a beautiful day. You know, we had a great time. Friends, family, it was a lot of fun. Just take a couple of Imodium and you're all good. But if you take Imodium, be careful, because you good for like 3 days. You'd be like, okay, I'm ready. Oh, that's too real? My bad. I thought we were family.
But I did open for the Popemobile in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And if you've been there, you know they mean that sarcastically. I love Philly, but saying Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love is a little bit like saying Syria, a place for peace. But I love Philly. I love the whole Northeast. I'm from the Midwest, but I choose to live in the Northeast because I love the energy and I love the fact that everyone in the Northeast is angry for absolutely no reason at all. Furious! From Philadelphia to Boston, pissed off. Right? That whole Acela line, I call it the corridor of hate. But that is why we are the United States. Think of those initial 13 colonies. Like, in Virginia, those guys, like Jefferson and Madison, those guys were like the philosophers. They're like, we're born with these inalienable rights, we should have representation. But it was the people in the Northeast, in Boston, that were like, screw it, dump all the tea in the habit. Those English are dicks, they don't say that before hospital. Don't you wish you were there when the Bostonians explained to the Virginians, yeah, we listened to all that stuff you said, so we started a war with England. The greatest superpower on the planet. The Virginians were like, what? We were talking hypothetically. Even Patrick Henry was like, when I said give me liberty or give me death, I didn't mean actual death. I was talking like death by chocolate death. But so I was in Philadelphia for the event, at the sound check, and they had constructed this huge amphitheater next to the Ben Franklin Parkway, which is a highway, and the amphitheater was empty, and I was up there doing the sound check, and I looked on the highway, and it was already filled with 1 million people. And I looked at those people, and I thought, wow, 1 million people that don't want to see me do stand-up comedy. Because they were all there to see the Pope, and not one of those 1 million people was thinking, I hope the Pope has a comedian open for him. But I shouldn't have been surprised. In the weeks leading up to the event, there were all these interviews. They're like, you're opening for the Pope. There's gonna be millions of people there. Are you nervous? Are you gonna prepare? And I'm like, I'm definitely nervous. I'm definitely gonna prepare. Anyway, I didn't prepare. So I was on stage at the sound check looking at those 1 million people, and I thought, I gotta come up with some Philadelphia jokes. But what do I know about Philadelphia? I know cheesesteaks, Liberty Bell, and I just watched this ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about Eagles fans in 1968 throwing snowballs at someone dressed like Santa Claus. That's all I knew. So I went off and I tried to think of some Philadelphia jokes. Before you knew it, the event started and I was introduced and I walked out and the amphitheater was still empty. You know, because the Pope wasn't there and it was a Catholic event, so everyone was at the bar. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm just gonna do my show for no one. So I go, it's good to be here in Philadelphia. And I heard this roar behind me. And it was all the people on the highway. And I was like, all right, I'll play to them. I was like, Philadelphia loves the Pope. And I was like, not that I was worried, but you guys weren't that nice to Santa. Nothing. Silence. And then I heard something that sounded like booing, because it was booing. It wasn't everyone, it was like 10%, so 100,000 people. Booing my Santa joke before they saw their religious leader who was gonna talk to them about mercy. So I did what anyone would do when they're being booed. I acted like I wasn't being booed. I did some jokes about being lazy and food, and I kinda got the crowd back. And I got off stage, disaster averted, and I pulled out my phone and I started checking Twitter and I saw the most angry, hateful tweets I've ever seen. How dare you bring up the Santa incident? Never come back to Philly. I wish I could punch you. Bring up the Santa incident in Philly is like bring up the Holocaust in Germany.
That was an actual tweet.
Of course, the difference being that the Holocaust happened and Santa has never existed.
At that moment, there was a tap on my shoulder, and it was one of the organizers, and they're like, do you want to meet the Pope? And I was like, I'm good. I was like, yeah, of course, I'd love to meet the Pope. So I was put in this room with some of the other performers, and we were lined up, and the Pope came in, and he started greeting people, and I noticed people that the Pope was meeting, they were saying something to the Pope, and I didn't know what I was going to say to the Pope. And before you knew it, the Pope was right in front of me, and I just said, don't bring up the Sant incident. And the Pope, he didn't say anything. He just gave me a look of like, dude, I would never do that. This is Philadelphia. They'd crucify me.
Last year, I invited my therapist over for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, so she could see what I'm working with. And she's in therapy now. I'm looking for a new person, but it's hard because therapy is expensive, isn't it? I went to one guy, he wanted to charge me $150 an hour to talk. I said, sir, I can talk to the voices in my head for free. But I do think that we all could benefit from a little bit of therapy, right? Because it seems especially now, everybody is angry all the time, right? Which is really disheartening because Black women, we were angry first. Come on, you guys. My grandmother got into an argument with her cousin and they didn't speak for 50 years. And I'm like, you know what, Nana? Whatever happened on the Amistad really should have... Thank you for reading the syllabus before the show. Thank you. Thank you very much. But see, that's why I'm trying to do better. I want to be a better person. I'm always working on it. Like, I read that when you're having an argument with someone, you're supposed to stop and ask yourself, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? What if being right makes you happy? That's why love is hard, man. Love is very hard. You know, I will tell you, I was in a long-term relationship, but he didn't pop the question. Yeah, instead he asked me how I felt about having an open marriage. And I was like, well, that depends on how you feel about having an open casket. I didn't realize how difficult dating was until I saw this documentary about women who are dating men in prison. Yeah, look, I don't know what these ladies are thinking. Like, well, he may not be coming home to me, but at least I know where he is. They had one woman on there who married a serial killer. Now, maybe my standards are a little too high. But murder's a deal breaker for me. Because here's the thing. At some point during our relationship, you're gonna feel like killing me.